Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone. It is time for Drive Through HR, and it is Tuesday, October 13th. And I'm Robin Schooling, one of your hosts for Drive Through HR, and am here with you today as we continue our march through the year 2020. But you know, the year 2020 hasn't slowed us down in the HR and talent space. And our guest today is someone who has been very busy through the year of 2020 and really looking forward to having a conversation with him today. He's been a friend of Drive Through HR. He's been on the show in the past, and we're so glad to have him back. He's going to be talking about something that I think everyone's going to really latch on to. So, welcome to our guest, Chris Russell. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Robin. How's it going today?
It is going well. The sun is out. My New Orleans Saints won last night. Wasn't
a
beautiful showing, but a W is a W, so, so
hey,
I'm good with that.
Yeah, by the way, in the era of coronavirus, I think Drive Through HR is a very appropriate podcast title.
Yes. Yes, that is very true. We do deliver, I guess. We kind of deliver as well. Drive through and delivery. So, well, Chris, you have your hands in so many things. As folks in the industry have known you for years, and of course you are managing director for RecTech Media. And then you've also started HR Lancers, which we're going to talk about in a moment. But give our audience just a little bit of overview of RecTech Media and the work that you do there and what you've sort of focused on over the years.
Yeah, thank you. The mission of RecTech Media is to inform the modern recruiter. And so we do that through a variety of sites and information out there. So we power things like recruitingheadlines.com, hrtechteam.com, and news aggregator, so people can go in and see what's happening in the industry. We do a lot of webinars and free events out there. We just had a big one last month for diversity tools, diversity hiring tools. That was very popular.
Mm-hmm.
We had over 300 attendees come watch that for a couple of hours. And so we push out a lot of free information just to make you a better recruiter. A lot of it's focused around recruiting technology, recruitment marketing, that kind of stuff. So that's kind of what we do. And I do some consulting for both employers and vendors in that space. They're helping them reach HR people or helping HR people connect with more candidates through technology overall. So it's been it's been a fun ride these last 5 years, and looking forward to the next five.
That'll take us. I know. I can't wait till we're probably 5 years from now as well. Get us out of this year, I guess. So specifically today, when we kind of were back and forth and said, let's get you back on the show again, was to talk about HR Lancers. And, you know, for years now, right, we've been talking about the movement to the gig economy and the rise of freelancers and contract workers and things of that sort. And we certainly saw that, you know, trend coming into play more and more and more over the years. But here, it's 2020 and things have kind of exploded, I you know, from my viewpoint in that realm. But you started HR Lancers. So it's hrlancers.com. And I can't tell you how many times I give people that link and tell them, go check it out. tell us a little bit about HRLancers.com. What does it exist to do?
Basically, think of it as the Upwork for HR. I've been freelancing in the I've been a freelancer basically for 18 the last 20 years, and you know, always looking for that next project, next client to help keep the bills paid. And I've been using sites like Upwork in the past. I found a few projects off of there. I did a couple years ago, I did a project for a company in the Philippines, an employer branding project. And well, the problem with sites like Upwork is that they charge an awful lot. They take a lot off the freelancer's back. And I started thinking to myself, you know, why isn't there something that existed today just for HR to have their own sort of freelance job market? I have a number of other freelancers in the space. I just see the rise of the gig economy overall. And I've also seen some other sort of niche gig economy plays come out in different industries. There's a couple of sites for like marketing gigs and there's, you know, nursing. So you're seeing the niche-ification of the gig economy coming up now. I see, you know what? HR does. I use other stuff, even like, you know, LinkedIn has their ProFinder stuff. If you go in there, like trying to find an HR project is like near impossible. It's just in terms of navigating to it from a user standpoint. And I just want to create a dedicated resource where people can go post a profile and search for and find gigs that are relevant to them. And that's why I launched it back in January. And then, of course, COVID hit, which kind of derailed some of the plans we had on there. But, you know, for right now, I'm growing the user base on it. We have over 3,000 registered users, about 1,000 of those created profiles on the site. And a lot, everything from recruiting to diversity and inclusion experts to bloggers. I've hired a number of writers out there myself for some of my clients and some of my work overall. So it's been well received in the market overall. I've got a lot of messages saying, hey, this, I'm glad you created this. We needed something like this in the market. And, you know, I think COVID has hurt just the actual number of projects being put out there, but that's going to change over time, of course. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of lead-up recruiters out there starting their own stuff now. So I think it's a good resource for them as well. If you are just starting out and, you know, you're trying to venture out on your own, trying to get your projects, there's a lot of remote stuff on there, particularly in the recruiting space right now. That's the bulk majority of the listings that we have. There's some stuff on there, like I just posted a remote payroll specialist job today that I found, remote benefits. So, but anything, you know, if you have a need for something for an hour for an HR expert to talk to, post a project up there, or if you need a dedicated, you know, 40-hour week person, you can post that role as well. So pretty flexible from that perspective. So, yeah, definitely encourage anybody in HR out there to use it. Both on the, if you're looking for someone to hire or if you're looking to get hired, it's all free to use as well.
Yeah, I am, you know, I've accessed, I think I was one of your earliest adopters as well. I think I was one of the first profiles that went out there. And and actually, and I think also from a company standpoint, I think I was one of the first jobs that was posted out there as well. So I've used it from both sides because we have a consulting firm, and so I was in need of a workday consultant to join us for a gig and remote, you know, which was of course beautiful. And so I know I posted that position out there on the posting side, and we got, you know, a number of hits from it. So it worked beautifully for putting our gig out there. And then I also go and kind of peruse the site as well to take a look and see, hey, is there something that we, you know, we're a consulting firm, but at the end of the day, we're freelancers as well. So, you know, I'm always on there looking for, you know, what's happening? What are people looking for? Is it something we could do? So I think it's a great site to kind of bring things together. And you know, I mean, contract recruiters, gig recruiters is really nothing new. You know, we've kind of had that model around for a while. Lots of organizations go that route to scale up, scale down, work on a project, you know, mass hiring, whatever it may be. But what's been interesting to me is truly over the course of 2020, the rise of the traditional, if you will, HR jobs that we're seeing on there, which I think is fascinating. You mentioned the payroll jobs, the benefits jobs.
Yeah, there's a number of there's a company called Bambi as well. It's doing like HR for, you know, HR person for $99 a month. So, you know, you are seeing a lot of this. And I think coming out of COVID, I think we're going to see a lot more employers looking at a gig type of person to augment some of this work, because they laid off a lot of their staff, particularly in HR recruiting HR. And, you know, if when they do start coming back, I think an HR gig person would be a good alternative to look at as far as that, right? They can save some money. You can, you know, you may only need them for 20 hours a week or whatever it is.
Yep.
I just think that this, you know, this gig sharing economy, these part-time roles are really going to rise out of COVID. I expect to see that and beyond. Overall.
Yeah, I had a conversation the other week with a mid-sized company that pre-COVID was sitting at about 300 employees, and they're in a customer-facing hospitality industry, right? So decimated, you know, kind of due to the pandemic, still operating, you know, on their food and beverage side, you know, takeout, delivery, that sort of thing. But they went from, you know, a robust 300 employees to less than 150, and they've been able to maintain that, and they're still operating, and they've adjusted. But they also simultaneously, because of this downshift and number of employees and whatnot, went from an HR staff of 3 to an HR staff of 1, and so that one person being, you know, throughout, and everything that an HR person has had to do over the last, you know, 7 months, with managing through COVID and managing PPP loans and all this sort of thing, taking care of employees, taking care of the business. Well, they hit, even though they have not, they're still kind of maintaining at that 150 headcount, the work is still there. And they're anticipating, as restrictions are lifted and whatnot, you know, kind of coming back as, for the most part, as they were before. But they recently said, you know what, we need to start getting some, it's that HR person who's still there needing some support and assistance, but they're not ready to go out and fully, you know, staff back up to 3 HR people. So kind of putting their toe in the water with some contract work and some gig work. And you know, I think it's getting the beauty of it is it's putting HR professionals or recruiting professionals back to work.
Right.
But it's also, you know, keeping those businesses strong and afloat and being able to afford things instead of, like you said, another full-time person or something. So it's
Imagine their amount of stuff is on their plate now that they're a one-man, one-person.
Right.
By the way, there's a Facebook group called, I think, for HR Department of One, I think it's called, something like that.
Yep.
Nobody's listening. There's a lot of, you know, stats around the gig economy, which I'd like to throw out there. So just listen to some of these stats, Robin. I mean, and this is only getting bigger, right? So 50% of the workforce will be comprised of gig workers by 2028. 57 million Americans who freelance this year represent 35% of the U.S. workforce. 16 million, that's the number of Americans who consider themselves self-employed as of July 2019. And here's an interesting one. 1 in 6 enterprise workers are actually gig workers, paid as either 1099 or short-term W-2, working 1 to 6 months, comes from ADP. Yeah, you know, I think there's going to come a day when full-time jobs are more of an exception rather than a rule, I think.
Yeah.
On a trajectory, at least. It's going to be interesting these next 10 years as far as this rise in the gig workforce and how many people will actually be, you know, working from the scope.
Yep. Well, and it, you know, and it's also, obviously we have to get through the contentiousness of the election year that we're in already in the U.S., but I think long-term, one of the reckonings that we've hopefully come to as a country is having the safety nets in place so that people can work in this new way of working.
Oh, God.
You know, decoupling health insurance from employment.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, there's the biggie right there. Decoupling that kind of stuff from employment, giving people the option to, you know, be self-employed.
Of new companies and freelancers out there. There's just no question about that.
Yeah.
So I can't wait for that day. I mean,
yeah, I know.
It's long overdue, put it that way.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and we saw, you know, again, it took this, you know, tragedy, really, if you will, to get it to the forefront. But, you know, March, April, everybody's out of work, and it affected the self-employed, obviously. It affected gig workers. And states somehow found a way to, or, you know, via federal dollars, but states somehow found a way to provide, quote, unemployment insurance, unemployment benefits to self-employed individuals who had also lost their income. So, you know, there's another kind of piece of the puzzle. Because, yeah, you know, you're self-employed, you're a gig worker, you do your best, you have your savings, you know, I'm going to have X to live on if I'm between gigs. But something unforeseen happens and boom. Where's that safety net? You know, so I think that there's another kind of reckoning.
We did a survey early on with our Lancers, and over half of them lost 75% of their business.
Oh, man.
And so, you know, of COVID. So thank God, you know, the freelance PUA, it is called, benefits were there.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's we definitely need that as well.
Yeah.
In the future.
What have you found? And you maybe don't go this granular with the data of people that have signed up with the site, but what have you found in terms of people who have kind of hung their shingle out for the first time because of 2020? You know, are there more people that have kind of entered this purposefully or felt the need to do it? Or, you know, what's the switch? Are you still seeing people that are saying, yep, I'm not being forced to, but I'm going to take this step?
Yeah, I think they're looking at it. There's a lot of laid off people. I was just talking to someone the other day over the phone who had gotten laid off. She's in HR. Having to see her on Twitter and had a conversation. And she launched her own site and started doing some blogging on her own. COVID is forcing them, some of them, to do some of this stuff. They're seeing it as an opportunity to, you know, make a name for themselves overall.
Yeah.
I've definitely seen a lot of that come up among HR workers out there going out on their own. It doesn't take to create a quick website and put your name out there. So we're definitely seeing a lot of that. The population out there. So, you know, it makes sense. You know, it's not going to hurt you to have your name, have a website out there and try and you know, do some blogging on your own, whatever it is, to try and hook up a client or two. So it definitely makes sense in that respect. So, yeah, I'm actually talking about we have some hangouts every now and then on HR Lancers, Zoom hangout, wherever we're going to get. The next one I'm doing myself, actually, talking about content marketing for HR Lancers.
Mm.
You know, I've had a lot of success with that in my own business. You know, just a quick example, the you know, I wrote an ebook last year with more research around diversity hiring tools, right? Book in a pretty well downloaded ebook on my site. And this year I said, you know what, let me turn it into a conference, an online conference.
Yep.
So I made over $2,000 on that based off an ebook I actually, you know, I created and took, you know, a few hours to write.
Yep.
There's a good example there. I had a blog post this year where I noticed that recruiters were looking at virtual job fair software. They're asking about which one do you use. So I wrote a pretty lengthy blog. I did a lot of research around it. Come up with a, here's all the vendors that are out there. You know, did some demos, things like that. Created a nice big blog post. I put that on my site. It got picked up by Google. It's like number one for if you search for like virtual job fair software. And I've made over $2,000 on that for clients. So it's you know, it's doable out there.
Yeah.
If you are if you want to go out on your own, then you just got to do it. You got to spend some time learning about internet marketing and personal branding and you know, being trying to be on the cusp of what people are looking for. So like,
yes.
I've launched a lot of Facebook recruiting groups, and I really like to see what they're asking about, and that's great. That's great content idea generation, is just being a part of those groups and seeing what people are looking for and asking about in the current environment.
Yes.
And I use that to my advantage as far as creating content goes. So just a quick quick content marketing tip for all you
all our new entrepreneurs. Well, and let me give a shout out as well, because you know, we're all about kind of sharing resources and letting people know where things exist. Speaking of content marketing, a good friend of the show's, RepCap Media, Mary Ellen Slater, was a guest several weeks ago here on Drive Through. And while her business is content marketing and especially, you know, very kind of marketing heavy, she has an event coming up, which is a free event called Managing Editor Live. And anybody who's listening can just sort of Google that and find it. It's later in October. It's the 22nd of October. But, you know, there would be good takeaways there, kind of really in a, you know, in line with what you've just been sharing of, you know, getting some tips and ideas of how to put out content and messaging and what platforms you should be on, and somebody who is kind of building their solopreneur business and wants to find ways to connect with clients and businesses, you know, yet another tool that someone can take advantage of. And I think, you know, what's kind of cool to think about, really, you know, and my heart breaks, obviously, for people that have been forced into a situation that they weren't, you know, planning on necessarily. But I think what's really cool about it is how we've seen sort of this rise of the entrepreneur, if you will, within kind of the greater, you know, HR practitioner ecosystem. And even if somebody ultimately says, you know what, that's not for me, and I'm going to go back in-house, to a role, what they're learning now out of how to work as a consultant, if you will, and how to, you know, plan and strategize with external clients, those are all, like, really excellent skills that somebody's going to be able to bring back with them in-house if they go back to an in-house gig. And it will shift, I think, collectively help shift the view of HR. You know, I think recruiters have usually collectively been very adept at this internally of, you know, recruiters, you think, you know, let's have SLAs and all this kind of stuff. HR people tend not to think that way. Let me just do my job and I'm HR. But I think it's going to bring a whole new kind of dynamic for people that have done this externally, and as they go back in house, and they become an internal consultant to their organization. So I think it's it's helping in a sad little way in some cases, but it's going to help kind of shift what's the role of HR internally.
Yeah, I think you're right. The profession is getting a lot more technical as well, right? There's a lot of there's a lot of the software of HR today. You really have to be kind of tech savvy now if you really want to be, I think, HR person, be able to take advantage of the tech that's out there to make your job easier. So anything you can do to keep your tech skills up in that respect is a great thing. And it's only going to but there's never been more HR technology than there is right now. It's only getting worse every day. But anyway, we've kind of been in HR, the golden age of HR tech these last few years. And COVID may have paused that a bit, but once we start to hire again, they're going to come right back and keep on seeing profit. And stay vigilant to what's out there.
Yep. And I have a good tip for people working in our field, in our profession, if they want to stay on top of new and emerging technology, and that's to find you online and follow RecTech Media and sign up for the events and, really, really pay attention to what's happening now and what's coming down the road. Because to your point, it's building that continual awareness, I think, as practitioners, as professionals, and important, very important.
That's on top of what's happening. All the trends and tactics out there are changing daily.
Yep.
And, I've always considered myself a learner, a lifelong learner. And I think if you take that mindset into any job you have, you're going to be someone who's wanted at organization throughout your career. So my last advice is always be learning, because that's what you're going to continue to learn.
Yeah, that is key, and the more things have changed in 2020, the more things have stayed the same, and I think that's always been such a key, mindset for any of us to have. So we are wrapping up here already. I can't believe it. We are nearing the end of this Drive Through HR episode, and I want to thank Chris Russell, our guest, for talking about gigs and the freelancer economy. And we've mentioned your sites several times, but once again, Chris, let's tell our listeners where they can find you online and where they can access HR Lancers as well.
Yeah, HRLancers.com. All social media at Chris Russell. RecTechMe.com. My events, my events as well, RecTechLive.com. So next one will be in November. We'll be doing demos of virtual job fair software companies. So check that out as well.
Ooh, excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I saw somebody the other day asking about job fair technology. So timely.
Yeah.
Very timely. Yep.
Definitely, it's part of my strategy.
That's good. There we go. Well, thank you again, Chris, and thanks, everybody, for listening to Drive Through HR today. And we are out of here. Have a good day, everybody.
Thanks, Robin. Take care.